From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we begin today with U.S. Representative Robin Kelly. The Democrat resides in Madison in the south suburbs of Chicago and represents Illinois' second congressional district. The second is expansive, stretching from the south shore of Chicago near the Museum of Science and Industry, south 124 miles to Danville. It also includes the cities of Kankakee and Pontiac. Kelly is a native of Harlem in New York City. She attended Bradley University in Peoria and later earned a PhD in political science from Northern Illinois University. She's been a state lawmaker, a top aide to the Illinois Treasurer and Cook County Board President, and has been a member of Congress since 2013. Congresswoman Robin Kelly, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, in order to make our schedule meet, we tape this conversation on Friday, so we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, so I want to begin. You serve on the House Health Subcommittee. I wanted to ask you about the upcoming end of COVID emergency declarations. The Biden administration plans to do that by May 11th. First off, what do you think of that idea?
Well, we knew that at some point it was going to have to come to an end, and it wasn't going to, you know, last forever. The good news is that some of the programs have been decoupled, or they were either made permanent or they were extended. You know, things like, excuse my voice, CHIP and Medicaid postpartum coverage, you know, were given additional resources and government funding. So, you know, patients could continue getting a crucial access. So I think, you know, that will definitely help. But, you know, it's no surprise that at some point, you know, it was going to come to an end. And states have been given a grace period after it ends, so people aren't immediately disenrolled from Medicaid and people are not just kicked off.
Do you think that given that certain data sharing, for example, is something that I understand is no longer going to be required, funding is going to be drying up for some of that information sharing, are we going to really have a good grasp of what's going on with the virus in the months and years ahead?
I think so, because no one thinks COVID has totally, you know, gone away. And in energy and commerce, you know, we just had a hearing with CDC and with FDA. And so they know with Ms. Walensky. So they know that we're still very interested. We, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we're getting all the information we need. They're being transparent. So no, things will still be looked at.
And then just for our listeners' sake, what about vaccines and treatment like Paxlovid? Are people going to have to start? I understand there's, you know, there's some supply left over, but some of that's going on the private market. Prices could go up. Is that going to be an out-of-pocket expense?
Yeah, that now, you know, that's something that I see as a concern, that eventually is not going to be free. And so either, you know, depending on insurance, are they going to cover it, or, you know, will it be an out-of-pocket expense? But that's why we need to make sure as many people as we've been trying, you know, for, you know, a couple years now, as many people as possible get vaccinated now.
And then the last thing, and then we can move on to another topic, but what about home tests and even lab tests for that matter? I understand people can get reimbursed from insurance for those. Some of those are quite expensive. Mm-hmm. This is another area where you could come out of pocket, right?
Right. Another area that can come out of pocket, but again, you know, the more people that take care of business now, then the less you have to worry about it later. So, you know I want to make a big push in my area before, you know, everything ends, that people take advantage of what's available now.
So I know another issue related to health that's very important to you is maternal health. Did I read in a Tribune story that you once ran a crisis nursery back in Peoria?
Right. I was the director of the crisis nursery, but that was for kids who were abused or had the potential for being abused. So we worked with their, counseled their parents. It served as a respite for parents if they were, you know, too stressed out or felt like they were going to be abusive.
Does that inform your sort of interest in that issue today?
You know, to be honest with you, I did not realize until a constituent called me that the United States had such a problem with maternal mortality. We rank pretty poorly compared to many developed countries and some not so developed. And So someone called and shared a story. Actually, it was Judge Hatchett, who was on TV. She lost her daughter-in-law to maternal mortality. She was having her second child, and a test was ordered but was not done. And it went on and on and on. And then finally, when it was done, they rushed her to the emergency room, but she died on the table. And then we heard more stories and more stories. It was just appalling. And then too many women die, but then Black women die, you know, three times the rate of white women, and Native women die at a high rate also. But in Chicago or Illinois, Black women die 6-1, the rate of white women. So the more I got into it, the more I got into it and realized more needed to be done. And I worked with, you know, docs and nurses and different people like that, parents who lost daughters or husbands or whatever the case may be. And we had a series of hearings.
What's your best understanding of why America is so exceptional in this terrible way?
I think it's a combination of reasons. First of all, cultural competency is an issue. You know, there's story after story about that. There needs to be a set of best practices. Like, why does it happen in some places, not others? You know, there's states that it happens more in, but there's hospitals that it doesn't really happen. Also, the other thing is Medicaid covers a lot of births, but Medicaid coverage only goes up to 60 days postpartum, and the postpartum period is a year. So a lot of issues happen after the 60 days, but there's no coverage. So that's a big problem. But we did rectify that some last Congress. So 33 states now and the District of Columbia have it up to a year, but 17 states do not. So we're still working, you know, to work with that.
And I know that you co-sponsored the Maternal Health Quality Improvement Act. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that deals with cultural competency to make sure that, I mean, it's been proven that you do better when it's someone that looks like you or at least understands the reality of your situation. We want, you know, data collection, you know, to make sure we're, you know, it's apples to apples and that people collect in the same way. And then, as I talked about, best practices. And the other thing, there's some other things we're interested in, like review committees. Some places have it and some places don't. But like in Philadelphia, they established a review committee to look at and evaluate why these things happen, and their maternal mortality rates went down.
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Congresswoman Robin Kelly, Democrat from Madison, Illinois, in the South Suburbs, who represents the 2nd District, which goes all the way from the South Shore of Chicago down to Danville in Central Illinois. Also includes the cities of Kankakee and Pontiac. You know, that legislation that we were just talking about, the Maternal Health Quality Improvement Act, that was last, I think it was introduced multiple times. Last time I noticed was 2021 in a Democratic Congress. Republicans are in the majority now. Is there a chance of something like that being able to pass in the next 2 years, given the change in Washington?
I just became co-chair of the Maternal Mortality Caucus, and my co-chair is a Republican from California, Young Kim. So our staffs have been meeting, and we're going to see, you know, what we can get out and put together. And that caucus has been in effect with Jamie Herrera Butler, who didn't win her election. And then Lucia Royale from California, they had it. And they came to me to see if I would be interested in, you know, stepping in, which, of course, I would be. And I did. So I think us working together, we work more in a bipartisan way than people probably believe. But I think that helps, that we can bring things forward in a bipartisan manner. And then we can do it in the Senate, like find two people that will champion the issue in the Senate.
You know, it's interesting. You've been in Congress since 2013 now. I'm trying to think how many times has power shifted. It was Republican.
Well, the first 5 years I was in the minority. In the last 4 years, the majority. And now I'm going to say it, the next 2 years in the minority, then I'm going back to the majority.
Oh, this, so it, since you are, you do have that PhD in political science. I had talked about this with Senator Duckworth last year. There's this book by the political scientist Francis Lee called Insecure Majorities, right? And for our listeners' sake, basically says, because control of Congress changes so many times nowadays, that a lot of lawmakers have shifted their priorities away from policy and more towards, you know, just getting that partisan advantage. Do you see that dynamic playing out in your day-to-day work?
You know, as Alita Jeffery said when he spoke, that we will have the olive branch and work together where we can work together. But, you know, where we can't, where the values might be a little different and we can't, then we, you know, then we just can't. I have always worked in a bipartisan way. In fact, this weekend, there's an exchange program where Democrats and Republicans go to each other's district. So I went to my Republican partner's district, and now he's coming to mine, you know, this weekend, and I'm not the only one. This has been going on. So we work together more than people think, but yes, there's been definite frustrations. Even maternal mortality was, you know, a frustration because it took a while. Immigration is a frustration and very big frustration, gun violence prevention, you know, and that's very big, high on my agenda. I ran on it, you know, so there are some frustrations, even though, you know, we do have people that, you know, work with us, definitely.
You know, on that note, there was one of the bipartisan moments we saw in the last week or so. Was it the State of the Union address? I think most everybody stood for the family of Tyre Nichols.
Yes.
The young man who's killed died after a brutal beating by police in Memphis. Is that something, you know, this problem, this ongoing of police brutality, this Nichols case was just the latest example of that. Do you see any chance for legislating out of that?
You know, when someone dies, I don't do it. I haven't done it for years. You know, we do a moment of silence, but, you know, people need more than your thoughts and your prayers. And I hope that by all of those people standing, you know, we could not get the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act passed. We got it passed in the House, but not in the Senate. And so now here we go again. Well, we've been going again and again and again, but I'm hoping that, I mean, this was horrible. And I'm hoping we can do something about it. I mean, you know, police shouldn't be able to go from one police station, you know, town to another and get another job. And apparently, allegedly, these people had a little history. You know, we cannot allow that. I mean, people are dying, you know, and it's horrible. So I'm hoping that something comes out of this.
We're planning a segment soon on new national parks in Illinois. One of those is the Pullman National Historical Park in your district, I think just blocks away from your Chicago office. You sponsored the legislation that made it possible. Why is the area, and in particular the park designation, important to you?
Oh my God. I mean, I have to give Jesse Jackson Jr. credit. He started it and I'm standing on his shoulders. We have been pushing this. I've been in Congress for 10 years. In April, I've been pushing it since then, just the history, and it's, yes, Black history, but it's American history, talking about labor unions, the Pullman Porters, A. Philip Randolph. I just think it's so important for people to know about the railroads and the significance, you know, in United States history. So it's very meaningful, and just in the area is very meaningful because it's helped with economic development and, you know, what could be deemed a tough, maybe not immediately there, but all surrounding, you know, that area. So I'm thrilled.
We're coming to the end of our time together. I do want to ask you about representing a district as large and varied as the second. Whenever I speak with a member of Congress, I like to really zoom in on the map and see, I mean, you've got the Museum of Science and Industry, the Vermilion County Museum, from north to south. How do you go about representing a district that has such a range of people? There's a lot more farmland now. There's a lot of Republicans. There are probably a lot of MAGA fans in that district. How do you say, yes, I'm going to have your interests and preferences represented in Congress as well?
Well, when I first came to Congress, my district started on 53rd and Cornell, and I had all of Kankakee County. Now it's 43rd, and I go a little south of Danville, and as you said, out to Pontiac. I look at it, no matter who you are, most people want a job. Most people want a roof over their head. They want health care. They want to feel safe, and they want a decent education for their kids. And that's how I approach it. I have a great relationship with my farmers I already had. I do a barn hall meeting every summer. And I had 1,200 farms back then. Now it's inching closer to 2,000. And, you know, even if you didn't work, I mean, vote for me, I work for you. And I'm really trying to lift all boats, because I just feel like we all do better when we all do better. We're not always going to agree. My husband doesn't always agree with me, you know, so, or my kids. So, you know, and they question. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're stuck with each other now, and I'm going to, you know, work as hard as I can. You may not always agree with me, but, you know, like when I look at those five things, you know, that's what drives me.
Congresswoman Robin Kelly represents the 2nd District, as we've been saying, from Chicago to Danville. Congresswoman, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.